Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's March 18th and 19th. Winter returned this week with a massive snowstorm Tuesday into Wednesday, but fortunately, that was sandwiched between some road races that we're sponsoring. So last weekend, we sponsored a road race along with NHTI, a fundraiser called Springerhead, and it was very cold. This coming weekend on Sunday, March 19th, if you're listening to this, there's still time to register. Out of 2 Delta, we're doing a road race put on by Beth Conley, and it's a fundraiser. She is running the Boston Marathon, and she is raising money for the Dana-Farber Institute in Boston. For my running friends, this weekend takes me to Gunstock for the last of the Winter Wild Series. All winter long, I've been running up and down mountains with my lovely wife, Ellen, as part of the Winter Wild Series. So perhaps I'll either see you at Gunstock on Saturday or at Northeast Delta Dental on Sunday. But with me this weekend is David Morgan, who is the president and CEO of Future Insight, formerly the New Hampshire Association of the Blind. The organizational name change took place March 1st of this year, so really recently. So, David, thank you for joining me this weekend. I know you're a really busy guy, and I really appreciate you taking the time to join us this weekend. It's probably good timing given the name change.
Tom, thank you for having me.
Thank you, and you're a fellow Bowite, so we're right down the street here at the beautiful studios at The Pulse. So tell us your background. You have a extremely interesting background. I mean, you worked at Perkins School for the Blind, and you also worked for BE Semiconductors. U.S. operations are located right here in Londonderry. And so kind of connect the dots for us. How did you end up getting to the New Hampshire Association of the Blind, now known as Future Insight?
Sure, love to. I certainly spent almost 10 years at Perkins School for the Blind, and at Perkins, I actually ran what seemed like a small startup company for them. They manufactured the Perkins Brailler, and for your listeners, a Perkins Brailler looks like a mechanical device with 6 keys that when you press down actually emboss paper with the 6-point code that makes up the Braille code system. Before that, I grew up in engineering and manufacturing. So I was in operations, engineering, developing new products, was president of a U.S. operation for semiconductor, and a recruiter called, of all things, and said, listen, we have this fascinating operation that's part of a school for the blind, and the president would like to speak with you. That president was Stephen Rothstein, and Stephen had come in, frankly, to modernize and transform this 180-odd-year-old School for the Blind, the oldest institution serving the blind in the United States.
Awesome. So then fast forward, you've been with your new organization, formerly known as New Hampshire Association of the Blind, for less than a year, correct?
Just over a year. November
Perfect.
Of 2015.
Awesome. Well, time flies. It's already been a year. So tell us what that's like, and maybe describe the organization and why we've decided to do some branding change.
Sure, I'd love to. New Hampshire Association for the Blind is in its 105th year, and I lead with saying the New Hampshire Association for the Blind because at our core, first and foremost, we serve those who are blind in our state. That includes babies, school-age kids 3 to 21, adults and seniors. Last year, we served about 1,100 individuals. And for those of your listeners that don't know, I was born and raised. I spent my first 10 years here in Concord, New Hampshire, and that was the link and why, frankly, I considered leaving Perkins School for the Blind for an opportunity to come back to New Hampshire. So March 1st, we modernized our name to Future Insight, and a lot of that was, frankly, to broaden the appeal and to make a new and interesting connections and, frankly, start a new conversation around sight loss. So often when your name is New Hampshire Association for the Blind, folks may not realize that you're doing more than just serving the blind.
Well, why don't you frame the field of sight loss specifically in New Hampshire? Sight loss affects how many children, how many adults, and also maybe some nationwide statistics.
Sure. Some of the New Hampshire statistics are a little tougher to get at, but according to the Center for Disease Control, about 30,000 New Hampshire residents or more are affected by profound sight loss. And I'll qualify profound sight loss as being sight loss beyond corrective vision with glasses. Around the nation, frankly, there are about 10 million individuals with vision loss. About 1.2 or 1.3 million of them are blind, legally blind. And there are also more than 90,000 children across the United States. The numbers are tougher to get at, but there are some number around 400 or 500 children and babies in New Hampshire that struggle with sight loss.
So if I were in an elevator with you in the typical elevator speech, I mean, how would you describe, you know, Future in Sight in terms of what your, you know, what your main goal is in New Hampshire?
Future in Sight's goal is really to help transform the lives of babies, children, adults, and seniors that live with sight loss, and in many cases, their families as well. It's not unusual at all for parents of a baby with sight loss to call in a frantic state of mind and say, you know, my child's suffering with sight loss. How can you help? And more, the way we can help is provide a whole range of holistic services so that when you call Future in Sight, you're getting a social worker. You don't just get the switchboard. You get a social worker that works hard to understand your needs, visits your child, or if you're an adult, visits you in your home. And then from there, understands what those range of needs could be. If you're a school-age child, it wouldn't be uncommon for us to send a teacher of the visually impaired and an orientation and mobility specialist that really help you work with what we call the expanded core curriculum. So how can we provide services to your child that helps them learn about self-advocacy or assistive technology or helps you get digitally accessible materials?
So one of the things I like about your new messaging is trying to get the facts out there. So, you know, one of the myths is, you know, children born with visual impairment have a bleak and hopeless future, when in fact with the proper interventions, that's not so. So tell us maybe an example of how that might work. Like you said, if I'm a new mom or dad and I think I have a problem with my child's eyesight, like, well, take us through the process.
That parent would literally pick up the phone and call us. And before, frankly, when that was New Hampshire Association for the Blind, many parents and adults weren't in a place where they were quite ready to acknowledge that they had sight loss that approached blindness. And one of the reasons for the name, of course, is to make the whole idea of sight loss more accessible. So that parent would call, or a teacher at an SAU school system would call and say, we've got a child struggling with sight loss. They've been to their ophthalmologist. How can you help? We know we need your help. And they would have a individual education plan, an IEP that would have been developed for their child. And they would invite our teacher, the visually impaired, into that team to help that team address issues around sight loss. Those issues could be how to provide digitally accessible materials. Those issues could be around helping that child cope with a world that might be more tactile in nature, or it may be around using the efficiency of what sight they do have. So skills around using materials, navigating their home or the classroom. It might be around using assistive technology, for instance. So how could we use CCTVs or iPads to not only access materials but enlarge it, or use voiceover technology, much like your listeners might download a book off of audible.com and listen to it. Those same sort of technologies can be very beneficial for children.
All right, and your contact information is 224-4039. That's 224-4039, Future in Sight. And the website is futureinsight, all one word, .org, and you're located at 25 Walker Street.
Yes, we are.
Awesome. So I really like to hear, you know, the interface that you have with with the teachers and Department of Education, with IEPs, obviously as chair of the State Board of Education. We just spent the last 18 months developing the new innovative rules for students with disabilities, and proud to say that in New Hampshire, I think there were 56 places where we went above the federal minimum guidelines, and
right.
You know how important intervention is. So, what are some of the myths the people that are visually impaired? You know, can they live independently? Do they all have, you know, seeing eye dogs or white canes? What are some of the myths? And maybe we can start there, and then after the commercial break, we'll educate the listening audience.
Of course. First, I'll say that vision loss is on a continuum. You might see someone that has 20/80 vision but is struggling with that sight loss. It's hit them in a very hard and difficult way. Or you might encounter someone who has completely lost their sight loss. It's very much on a continuum. When we provide services, for the most part, we're going into their home. And I do think the myth is that a person who is blind or visually impaired somehow looks different than you and I. And frankly, anyone around us can have a visual loss. They could be walking down the street. They may not have a cane, or they may have a cane. They may be with a seeing eye dog, a dog guide, or they may not. Folks struggle in many of their own ways, just like all of us struggle with disabilities in our life. I think what's amazing and what social workers and rehabilitation specialists do, though, is they're going into your home and they're helping you with your needs from wherever you are. So,
great summary there. So, Future Insight, that's 224-4039, futureinsight.org. We'll return with David Morgan, President and CEO, after commercial break. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And this weekend with me is David Morgan, who's the President and CEO of Future Insight, formerly the New Hampshire Association of the Blind. And early mornings, I see one of your colleagues working out every day, Marcia. So I know that
Marcia's terrific.
She is, and so I get updates, you know, here and there from my running friends. Just as a reminder, if you're listening to this, there's still time to register for the Breaking Heartbreak Hill race, which is Sunday, March 19th at 10 a.m. And that's out of 2 Delta. And I want to thank my running friends who ran last weekend for the Spring Ahead Road Race, which is a fundraiser for the NHTI cross country team. The race on March 19th is out of 2 Delta, and that's a fundraiser for Dana Farber. And then for my crazy mountain running friends, I will be at Gunstock on Saturday, March 18th. So as mentioned, with me this weekend is David Morgan, President and CEO of Future Insight, formerly known as the New Hampshire Association of the Blind. And David's been with the organization over a year, has a great background at Perkins. And so one of the things, of course, David, as you know, this is New Hampshire, and my listening audience knows, you know, how do the funds, you know, get raised and how can we best help? Again, your phone number is 224-4039, and I know with the interface with the Department of Education, you just recently got a 3-year contract. Let's talk about that, and then let's get into your wish list.
Sure. Yes, actually, just a week ago, we won a 3-year contract from the Department of Education to transform the way children learn with sight loss throughout the state of New Hampshire. And really, that takes a number of forms. One is to create learning guidelines for children and for teachers. The other is provide access and education around assistive technology, and more assistive technology is really the great equalizer for kids in schools. And what I mean by that is children in schools with vision loss, unfortunately, not frequently enough, do not have access to materials in a timely fashion that those with vision would already get. So digitally accessible materials that might be available in voiceover format, that might be available in large print, and frankly, lots of handouts and materials and curriculum and books may not be available in a format that children can use in the moment with their teacher, the visually impaired.
Now, Future Insight serves seniors and working age adults, about 93%, and students are about 7% of the people you serve. Tell us about the revenue. I know public support is probably, you know, 2/3 of the revenue. So how does that all fit together, and how best can my CEO colleagues who are listening to this and the general public that's listening to this, how can they best help writing checks? Maybe there's a wish list of some materials as well.
Sure. You're right. About 2/3 of our budget is philanthropy driven, and that's made up of foundations and grants, direct mail campaigns, events like the Walk for Sight that happens on June 3rd. Unfortunately, more and more, that's not enough to serve 30,000 adults, kids and babies around the state, 30,000 residents of our state that struggle with sight loss. Unfortunately, we were only able to serve about 1,100 of them last year. The good news is this year, after only 4 months, we've served 1,000. So we're on the move, and we think the name change, of course, will help that outreach effort. Fundraising, I think there's two elements of fundraising. One is finding ways to raise more money by building community and having lots of your listeners get engaged either as volunteers or working to build teams to join us in our Walk for Sight, or just giving directly. The other element, and I want all of you to know that we're responsible to building a sustainable revenue stream that includes finding ways to generate revenue through the services we provide. So whenever we can work with children and adults and raise grant money or find a way to charge a nominal amount, even though most of our services are for free, that helps us grow our mission and to grow our reach.
Awesome. Now, in terms of perhaps technology wish list, things like iPads, portable electronic magnifiers, if there's a manufacturer out there listening to this, would they just give you a call? How would that work?
Certainly, we're always looking for grants and foundation money and direct direct gives and checks or other forms that help us get access to technology. I do think more and more, particularly in the space we serve around blindness and sight loss, products like iPads are the great equalizer. They allow us to download digitally accessible materials, and those are in great demand. CCTVs, which look like old microfiche machines but are actually modernized, that allow us to enlarge documents. Access to digital, software and screen enlarging software, as well as products like JAWS that allow you to do screen reading.
Boy, we're dating ourselves. Microfiche readers. I haven't seen one of those in a while. That's pretty cool. Tell us about the walk on June 3rd. How can I register? Where's the venue, et cetera?
Sure. The Walk for Sight takes place. It's about, don't hold me to the number, it's about a 3K walk, so just over 2 miles. Hundreds and hundreds of folks come every year. They go literally to our website at futureinsight.org under events, and they can find the Walk for Sight. And that's to raise money, frankly, for the full range of programs, our services for babies, which for your listeners, we just started serving over the last year. As the Department of Education and others realigned some of their programs, that's opened up a wonderful opportunity for us to serve more babies and families. It provides funds for what the Department of Education is not able to cover. And increasingly, fundraising supports those seniors, a population that we all know will double in the next 10 to 15 years, and will make up about 50,000 folks over the next 10 years that struggle with sight loss.
So you've been watching the demographics, I bet.
Absolutely. They're not looking good.
Strategic business plan, correct. So if I'm out there and I just want to volunteer, if I'm maybe I have certified as a social worker or a occupational therapist, I'm assuming that you could use volunteers, whether they have those credentials or if they just want to help you with being a volunteer at the walk or whatever?
Anyone can volunteer, absolutely. That, and in some cases, that may just be assistance with transportation to help a senior with sight loss get to an appointment. It may be volunteering at an event like the Walk for Sight, or from time to time, we also do dinners in the dark at restaurants that sponsor, or come in an administrative function to help us organize materials and get the word out about the work we do.
or simply write a check.
Or simply write a check.
There's a bunch of CEOs out there that I know that want to help. So if I were writing a check, would I make it out to Future Insight now?
Or yes, you could.
Okay, and the number, again, is 224-4039, and the website is futureinsight.org. So we're talking about the demographic trends. Now, you're sort of a veteran in this field, having worked at Perkins and really were the inventor of the Perkins Smart Brailler. Maybe you can talk a little bit more about that. But what have you seen in terms of the evolution in this field, and what do you see coming up?
It's a scary time and it's an exciting time. It's scary because the demographics really aren't in our favor. Babies are born earlier and ending up in a NIC unit, and too often may suffer with a less than developed a vision system. And seniors are living longer. And so on both ends of the demographic scale, those numbers are increasing. So even though there's significant medical progress, the fact is the numbers are growing.
And that's on the front end and back end.
The front end and the back end, yes. I think what's exciting is technology is the great equalizer now. There's lots of opportunities around technology, both in medical breakthroughs and technology that allow students and seniors to get access to the world. More and more we're seeing an opportunity to not only provide amazing services in the school or in the home, but actually living and thriving activities. The idea of healthy living, of social interaction, of recreation, more and more is an expectation, and we want to help seniors and kids get access to those things that are therapeutic and add value to their lives.
So the organization's been around, as you said earlier, for 105 years, and of course we wanted to sustain it for at least another 105 years.
Yes,
not that
do.
You and I will necessarily
we'll
be there
our,
for
we'll
that, but
best.
Who knows with technology. So, you know, if there's one thing you can leave the listening audience a notion of, can you impart that? And again, anybody that wants to donate funds, you can write a check to Future Insight, and the website is futureinsight.org, and the walk is on June 3rd. But let's leave us with one or two compelling thoughts to make it clear that even though, as you said, technology is encouraging, but the numbers are actually growing.
They are. We talked about the challenge, but it's an exciting time as well. More and more, we're partnering with other organizations, other social service organizations, other fundraising opportunities, and you will see this small nonprofit become a thought leader in how to serve those who are blind and visually impaired around our state. We're getting more into, some of your listeners may have heard of design thinking and ethnographic research. We are learning by doing, and we're learning by spending time with those kids, those teachers, and adults with sight loss in their home and out and around to really make a profound difference in their lives.
And I know you've been doing that. In 2016, the organization helped over 1,100 individuals in New Hampshire. But as you said, particularly the over age 65 population is expected to double in the next decade. So I assume you and your board are looking at those numbers and saying we're going to have to address that.
We are, and we're expanding those services. And too often, frankly, and ophthalmologist offices, difficult questions around sight loss get lost when we can't have conversations that don't include the word blind. And that's one of the reasons for changing the name. So for all of those who are actually blind, I would say we will always provide those core services for all of you. And more we want to grow that tent and reach out to those other 30,000 around the state that really need our help.
David, thank you for your leadership. You know, and by adopting the new name and identity, I know that your goal is for the public to learn more about the variety of programs. So thank you. And this is, of course, the beginning of that new branding. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom,
for joining us. David Morgan, President and CEO. Again, the number is 224-4039, futureinsight.org. Thank you for joining me this weekend.
Thank you.
Tom Raffio returns next week with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.